Hi, Jem. How are you?
Hi, guys. How are you?
Very well, thank you. How are you enjoying the lockdown?
Enjoying is an interesting word that you've used there. I don't know about enjoying. It's happening. It's real. What week are we in now? We're in week 5 of lockdown. We're about to go into week 5.
I don't know. I don't really know what day of the week it is anymore, which I quite like.
It's definitely Saturday. I know that much.
True, but they...
every Saturday I get to watch the latest episode of RuPaul's Drag Race, and that is keeping me happy.
Right. The only reason I know it's not a weekday is because I love watching Simpsons at 6 p.m. every day, and they're not on at 6 p.m. today, which is very disappointing. But it sounds like you're okay, are you?
Yeah, not too bad. Like, as a freelancer, I mean, I've always got stuff to do. You know, hey, I could do my tax return if I want to. Got that time now. There's a lot of odd jobs around the house I'm getting done finally. So, you know, it's cool. There's stuff to do. I'm doing a lot of writing as well, which is good because finally you've got the time. And trying not to worry about where my next paycheck's coming from. But apart from that, yeah, we're all right.
So do you want to just tell us a little bit about your background and where you're from? Because obviously all the chess boxing fans out there will know you as the MC during our shows. You've been doing that for maybe 3 years now, is that right? Roughly?
Yeah, I feel like it was 2017, wasn't it? The Norwich one was my first one.
That's right. 2017? It was, yeah, that was October 17. So yeah, it's three.
Wow. So that means this October I get like a 3-year anniversary present, right? That's how it works.
Yeah, that's fine. What do you want?
Surprise me.
So you're obviously you're an MC and you sort of hold the show together, face of chess boxing. But what do you do? Like, what's your background? How did you get into MCing?
Well, I am an actor, my friends, and I also am an event host and presenter. So I've been just standing on stages talking to people for as long as I can remember. I've been doing it a really long time, but always for different things. So I've got quite an eclectic background of work, really. Like, I'll be interviewing people at film festivals. I've done like educational award ceremonies. Snazzy, really fun. all sorts, really. And a lot of comedy. I've done a lot of sketch comedy, improv, and a little bit stand-up as well. I love being around people and talking a lot. So I guess that lends itself quite well to being a host or MC.
I haven't heard anyone under the age of 50 use the word snazzy at some point.
The second person to call me out for like old people language this week. I can't remember what I said, but one of my friends was like, oh my god, that's such a granny word. I can't remember what it was now. Maybe tip top or something like that. I don't know. I'm like an old soul and a young soul smushed together. A medium soul. I'm a medium soul.
I think maybe they come round, don't they, these sayings? So you're just bringing it back from the 1950s. It's fine.
I was around then. I am that old.
So we first met when you were working with Kate Williamson on Short Sighted Cinema.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, yeah, I also run a film festival. Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm an actor, a presenter, an event host, a comedy performer, a film festival director, and, yeah, many other things.
Because I sometimes think I'm losing my mind, because quite often some of the chess boxing fans might feel the same, because they obviously see you presenting the show and then you're like watching TV and there's like an advert for like BT or something comes on. Like, is that Jem? Yeah, it is. And I just a second I think I'm dreaming or in some sort of split reality, but a few of the chess boxing guys sort of recognised you from it is BT, isn't it? It's a BT.
Yeah, I'm in a couple of adverts at the moment. There's a BT ad, which is really super fun. And bank ad, which is pretty fun as well. Yeah. So I also am a proper actor as well. Because I've got a little Gangs of London, which is out at the moment, which is amazing and everyone should watch it. It's incredible and like so honoured to have a little part to play in that.
Tell us what that is again.
It's a action drama and it's on Sky and Now TV at the moment. And if you're not in the UK, I think the rest of the world is summer and it'll be on HBO. But it's amazing. So if you need to binge some TV and you like action, it's very heavy on action. It's co-conceived by the guys behind The Raid. You've seen that?
Okay.
You've seen that? Should have seen that, Gav. It's like one of the most amazing action movies ever made.
So now we've sort of covered the fact that you've been with us presenting chess boxing for 3 years. So you've seen quite a few now, haven't you? Have you got a favourite fighter, or who's your favourite?
No, man, you can't ask me that. Like, you can't ask me to have a favourite when I've got to see the guys and like be friends with everyone. No way, I'm not falling into that trap. No, they're all good. I have favourite like moments and favourite like little signature bits for a lot of them, really.
Yeah, okay, so can you take us through some of your favourite moments?
Legendary moment for me recently was the amazing robot performance to It's Raining Men.
Yeah.
That was outstanding. Like, the fact that he came out as his kind of pre-fight intro, he had like to be even scaled back a little bit because it's too long. I really applauded the preparation that had gone into that. That was amazing. The last event, I absolutely loved Brian coming out doing a number to what is that song? Is it Baker Street?
Yeah, that was.
I mean, just little touches like that make me so happy. Just that. You know, we can embrace an aspect of like silliness and joy before we get in the ring and do some serious chess and boxing. I love that. And you know, I also love just things like how self-deprecating some of the chess boxers are. Like, I love how happy our wonderful Crazy Arms Matt is to just kind of be ribbed on how many times he's retired, you know. He's retired about 7 or 8 times, and I've only been doing this 3 years. It's like, this is his last fight, guys, seriously. But then it isn't. I love all their characters, really. And, you know, I think the great thing about chess boxing is that it brings the personalities to the front rather than it being secondary to the skill. I feel like that's a really fun and joyful aspect of chess boxing that I'm really loving it.
It's interesting you were talking about Matt Crazy Arms Reed and how many times he's retired. Yeah. I think quite often he says that because he wants to get people along to watch him, but also he's in the invidious position of being very well known as a personality by the commentators, so they always completely rip out of him the entire time.
I love it though.
It's great.
I love that he's so open to it. Like, he's not. He embraces it, and it's a way of getting kind of attention in a positive way. It gets people on your side if you're quite happy to be laughed at. Like, it's a beautiful thing, I think.
Definitely, I think he's very chess boxing as well. Like, all of the guys that do it, they don't take themselves seriously, and those personalities really come through. And we've been working really hard to try and do more of that, and we've been working with a performance coach, and I think that's really, really showing. And I think the shows are definitely becoming more entertaining, which are the goals that we've had over the last 3 years. One of the only other entrants that I think you haven't mentioned, which I think is worth mentioning, is John the Brick. when he
oh my gosh, of course. Oh yeah. My gosh, John the Bricks. Oh yeah, sorry, how could I forget John's wonderful rubber brick throwing? Yeah. I actually gave him a tip on that. I actually told him to do underarm throws because he was, I think the first time he rehearsed that, he was giving it a full hard pelt. And I was like, do it underarm, John. It'll be softer and people can actually catch them.
But the best thing, I mean, obviously now people coming, they might have seen him do it before, but the first time he did it, those bricks looked so real. They were honestly like diving out of the way because they thought he'd literally lobbed a proper brick at them. From like, high stage, it was brilliant. But now,
which I don't know if that's the tactic you're going for, you know, scare the audience to the point that they're trying to leave. But it was funny.
Now, yeah, but now people like gather up near stage because they want to get a chance to grab one of these bricks and these.
Yeah.
Shows he's going around. He has a pint or something with them, and they're like, it's amazing.
Did I hear that he's retiring now though?
He's not retiring. He's not retired. I think there was. I think he didn't have a great fight the last time, and I think he felt a bit outmatched.
But that was no one's fault. I mean, our last. I mean, I'm sure that everyone listening to this knows, but our last event was very much on the kind of cusp of this lockdown happening, and a lot of fighters weren't available. It was kind of touch and go who was fighting who at one point, and. And, you know, and that's no one's fault. And it was amazing that the fighters that did step in at the last minute just kind of went with it. And I thought it was a really positive event for that, actually.
Yeah, definitely.
Big up to John for, like,
being out there. He had 3 weeks notice for a fight, which isn't
it?
Yeah.
No, like, really amazing. And, you know, and the couple of guys that had to switch around who they were going to fight because of illness and... It's like really a lot. I had so much respect for them that night.
Yeah, definitely. And considering the difficulties we're up against, I thought it was a very good evening. Like the fights were good. Like it was entertaining, and it could have, the whole thing could have quite easily fallen apart. So we were very grateful for the support we got from the fighters and also from Team Medic as well, who were advised.
Yeah, they were amazing.
Yeah, they were really good.
And you know, Gav, that was my last social gathering.
I think it was everybody, wasn't it? It was the Monday.
Yeah, I mean,
with lockdown.
No, because I think people were in the pub the following Friday, weren't they? And then they closed pubs.
Oh, really?
So, but I just, because I wasn't well, I then became sick after that event, like not with anything corona related. I had a stomach bug. Mm. But I then wasn't out for that last week. And so it's like weird. So when I think about my life pre-coronavirus, I think about chess boxing because that was the last thing I did.
I isolated that week after as well. And it was a cold, but didn't want to take any chances. So I think, I think I'm probably the same as you. But it's nice.
We're both on one extra week of lockdown.
This lockdown allows us to reflect on chess boxing. We've actually still been running training, virtual training sessions. But what do you think we could do? Because we've got, you know, the summer, we haven't got an event until October. How could we improve chess boxing? Do you think there's anything we can do? I know there's one thing that we talk about. Can you remember?
The one thing we talk about?
We talk about a certain thing that we could do to improve chess boxing, to improve.
Are you baiting me to get really political now? Because I ain't going there.
Well, I'll just go with it.
If you want to say it, you say it. I ain't saying it. Yeah. I ain't getting the clap back.
Yeah, well, we're looking at ways of making the ring person or the ring girl a little bit more.
There we go, you say it, Gav, you're a big boy.
Make it a little bit dated, perhaps less 1970s, a little bit more in tune with the crazy chess boxing spectacle. Maybe bringing in a character that's related to chess and boxing and ties the two sports together. Somebody who's maybe got some talents, like gymnastic talents or something, that can add a little bit to the show. That's what we're looking at doing over the summer. amongst many other things, of course. But yeah, that's, I think that is the area that I would like to focus on next and improve on.
That role. You had a really nice idea about bringing in a berserker. I don't know if you've spoken about that before on this podcast, but maybe like explain why that ties into chess, because that I thought it was a really nice idea.
Yeah, so chess came to the UK through Scandinavia. When the Vikings came down, they brought the game with them. And when it was played in Scandinavia, instead of a rook, which is the castle, they had a piece called a berserker, and that was reflected a particularly aggressive warrior that they had that basically used to take shitloads of hallucinogens, as far as I can tell, mushrooms, wear loads of like wolves and clothing, and was almost like suicidal. They were like so brave, they would kind of be the first ones into battle. And they had a fierce reputation, and they were called berserkers. And given it's sort of combat related and obviously chess related, I thought it would be really nice to create a character that sort of matched the berserker. And you can have some amazing sort of headdresses.
Fake wolf fur.
Exactly.
Outfit.
Fake wolf fur.
A bit like, do you watch that show Glow? You ever seen that? Female wrestling.
Oh, yes.
What is it? Not female wrestling. It's Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling. That's what it was. Okay. And in that show, there's a character. I think her character's name is Sheila. And she's like a she-wolf.
Okay.
And that outfit. That outfit is what I see when you just describe a berserker. Watch it. It's like
is she a wrestler or is she a character?
Yeah, wrestler. Yeah. They're all wrestlers.
Okay. I'll have a look. There's loads of LARP shops in London where we could just go and get some awesome costumes. Like proper like stuff.
And just taking a leaf out of John's book, we could be just throwing mushrooms instead of taking them. Right?
Maybe
huge cuddly mushrooms.
Yeah, maybe that's space two.
It'd be fun to have something that's really high energy and with a comedic spin to it, but as you say, kind of tying in some kind of physical talent like acrobatics or even clowning, like really physical clowning would be really fun, I think, and really get the crowd going.
I've been talking to our performance coach Kate Gilbert about maybe contacting a clown, because I think they would, because they can't really talk to the audience, but you want to have that connection. And I think the clown
can
do that. Watch this space. That's what we're working on for the October event. It should be great.
Alternatively, I'm sure, like everyone else, you've seen Tiger King recently. We could just call up one of those guys and get a tiger.
We get Mike Tyson to bring his tiger.
Has Mike Tyson got a tiger? They're all at it. What's the deal with these people?
And that's it for this week. We'll have part two of the interview for you in a couple of weeks, where Jem and I will be reviewing the boxing simulation Creed on the Oculus Quest. See you in a couple of weeks.